Blog Talk Radio.
You got to get up every morning with a smile on your face and show the world all the love in your heart. Then people gonna treat you better. You're gonna find, yes you will, that you're beautiful.
Good morning and good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Your Important to Sarah. This is Sarah speaking. We have a lovely fall day out here, crisp and sunny, and I hope it's wonderful wherever you are. We have a treat today. We have Susan coming on that's going to talk to us about the raw food diet. I kind of think that a lot of people treat the raw food diet as a fad. But really, if you think about it, for centuries, raw food was a staple diet. People didn't always have that fire in which to cook anything, so they ate fruit straight from the trees, or maybe the vegetables they grew, they picked straight out of the ground and ate. We've got a little picky, I think, through the years, and we're inclined to cook the hell out of everything. I know that because I'm British, and everything seems to get boiled away. But times are changing and people are becoming more educated, more adventurous, and with more sophisticated taste buds. I love my salads. I put everything in there. Apples, pumpkin seeds, cranberries, carrots, raw onion, anything I can find. I love to mix it up. I also love juicing, combining vegetable and fruit together, like ginger and beets and carrots and apple. Oh, absolutely delicious. And in the summer, watermelon, there is nothing like it. It is nectar. But I have to admit, I'm not as adventurous as eating raw food on a daily basis, mostly because I'm ignorant about it. I am, as I've told people on the other show, on a Vosala shake diet right now. I needed to substitute some meals and put some more nutrition back into me, maybe lose a little weight, but mostly kind of feed myself properly. And so I started to feel really, really good about this, but I want to balance it out with that one big meal I have a day in making sure that I'm not undoing what the shakes are doing for me. So I think that this raw food diet comes at a very, very appropriate time to find out what that other meal could be. So today we breathe on Susan Schellick. Now, am I pronouncing your name right, darling?
It's Schenck. Yeah, rhymes with thank.
Ah, okay. So you have a wonderful book, you know, on raw foods, and you have recipes for us and how to introduce eating it into our daily diet, and also where do we get our protein from if we're not cooking it? So please do tell us more about the philosophy around the raw food diet and the balance that it brings.
Okay, yeah, you know, if you go to any MD, he's going to say you don't need to eat raw foods. Your pancreas will crank out the digestive enzymes. But what they don't realize is that research by Dr. Edward Howell, and he's written two books about it that I cite in my book, The Live Food Factor, it shows that our pancreas has a limited function, and it wears out. So the more cooked food you eat, the sooner you're going to die. It's really that simple. Your pancreas has a limited capacity. So when you eat raw foods, you're getting the enzymes, and your pancreas doesn't have to work so hard because you've got those food enzymes. All those enzymes are destroyed when you heat it up at 118 degrees Fahrenheit or higher for the vast majority of foods. There are a few exceptions like oatmeal that can be, you know, dehydrated at a slightly higher temperature, maybe 150 or so. But you also destroy 84% of the vitamins, and the minerals become less bioavailable, less absorbable. And one study in Germany showed that 50% of the protein is not absorbed when you cook the food. So you're going to destroy things like biophotons that we in the West don't even recognize, but in Germany they've done research on that. So you're going to be much, much healthier. And if you go 100% raw, you can actually reverse disease. I know people who have reversed, you know, late-stage cancer by eating 100% raw. But if you eat 80% of your calories raw, you'll prevent all the major diseases of civilization, you know, the heart disease, cancer, arthritis, diabetes, and all of that. So it's really important for the health. You also absorb fewer calories when you eat raw, so it's really good for weight loss. Now, you mentioned protein. I was a strict vegan for 6 years, very strict. I mean, about, you know, my cheat might be once a month to have a raw egg yolk. I, after about 6 years, I started getting deficiencies because my body was depleted of B12 and all this DHA. I was losing my memory, EPA. I was getting depressed. I was gaining weight because I was so protein deficient that I was eating tons of nuts, which are only 10% protein, not a very good source of protein. So then I started doing research on my second book. The first one is The Live Food Factor, and it contains 66 studies, most of them published in scientific journals, which proved the superiority of raw. Now, Beyond Broccoli, my second book, shows that most people don't do well on a vegan diet or even a vegetarian diet. Most of us need to get some meat, a little bit, maybe three ounces a day is all you really need. But we need some fish, especially for our brain. Small, oily fish, we want small so we don't get dosed with mercury, you know, sardines, mackerel, herring. And we need that to stay slim, to get enough protein, and to get enough brain food. And so,
okay, typical meal would be what? You know, give me a typical lunch or a typical dinner and how you would balance and put that protein in there.
Okay. Well, for breakfast, a lot of people like to have smoothies, a green smoothie, and you can take a heavy-duty blender like a Vitamix or a K-blend, and you throw in superfoods like hemp seed, goji berries, maca, raw cacao, all kinds of, you know, superfoods, greens, a lot of wheatgrass, too, is really good. And you want to try to get alkaline, so you put all these superfoods in, and then you've got a really high-powered breakfast. Maybe throw in a handful of nuts. For me, I have found through trial and error that I do best by having my meat for breakfast. So I have dinner for breakfast. Like I'll have some steamed, very lightly steamed meat. Now the thing with meat is that you can eat it raw, but according to a website, U.S. agriculture website that I cite in Beyond Broccoli, if you're worried about parasites, freeze it for 2 weeks, and that will kill the parasites. And if you're still a little paranoid, marinate it with lemon or lime juice, and that for about 8 hours, and that'll kill anything else that's left. That also destroys some of the enzymes, however. So you can do it that way, or what I like to do is just lightly steam the meat, and I eat that for breakfast. You know, maybe some chicken or a burger, and then I won't eat meat the rest of the day. So that works for me, or if I don't do that, then I'll have a smoothie, like I said, you know, green smoothie. Eating greens is really, really important to stay alkaline. One study I cite in my book, or one Nobel Peace Prize was won in 1932 by Otto Warburg, because he proved the cause of cancer. And when you get rid of the cause, you find the cure. He proved that it was through acidity. And if we just get alkaline, the cancer disappears. And I know people who have reversed cancer this way. But you see, the drug, big pharma is big business.
Yeah.
And they don't want us, they really don't want us to know about all these natural cures, which are so simple. And, you know, getting alkaline, I mean, most people can afford greens. If you can't afford it, then get a handbook on how to forage for greens. You know, you want to make sure they're the safe kind. You don't want to end up like that guy in Into the Wild where he dies from eating the wrong kind of greens. But most greens, like here, I live in Ecuador, I can go out and pick fresh dandelions. And they haven't been sprayed. You know, I find them off the beaten path. They're not sprayed. And you can get a lot of this by foraging, but greens are really, really important in staying alkaline. Our primary.
I actually use whole greens every day in my shakes. Yeah, because it's dried and it's shaken up, and I add that to my shakes, or I love adding it if I'm making a soup or something like that, because it's, you know, really is enriching it. When you say like making a shake, is milk in this diet, or is it almond milk, or is there no milk at all? What kind of liquid are
you
looking at?
Very few people. Most people don't realize it, but it's very toxic. It's killing them. The casein is like glue, plugs up your intestines. I cannot eat dairy. I get stuffed up nose, constipation. And the more cleaned out you get, the more sensitive you actually get to this. But dairy and grains are definitely part of the reason people get so healthy after eating raw is simply because they're eliminating dairy, grains, sugar and table salt. They're eliminating all these evils in our diet and processed foods with all the hidden toxins like MSG and aspartame and everything. So you want to go
whole food. Can you have an almond milk or a rice milk?
Yes, you could do that. That's fine. Yeah,
okay.
Non-gluten.
What do you think about yogurt?
Yogurt, some people can handle it, and especially if you can get the kind that has culture in it, because it's very good to eat fermented food like raw sauerkraut. I make my own homebrew kombucha to get the good bacteria, the probiotics, and that's part of the reason I never get sick. I can go out to eat with somebody, and they'll eat some bad fish or something, and they'll get really sick, but I won't, because of all these good, healthy bacteria, friendly bacteria that are fighting the bad bacteria. But I do believe most people really need to be dairy-free and certainly gluten-free.
Right, yes. I mean, wheat is one of the things that is my downfall. I can't take the wheat at all. And it's hard because when you're, you know, again, if you're on a budget, it's one of the things that you do go for. So it's hard to find that balance, you know, within an affordable budget.
Right.
I like to steam my vegetables, you know, just enough to soften them up a bit, but still have them slightly kind of firm. Is that okay?
Yes, that certainly, because, see, a lot of these really, really healthy vegetables, like the cruciferous ones, the cabbage, cauliflower, broccoli, kale, and Brussels sprouts, they're very, very important because they're anti-cancer, but they're not our original foods. Because I did a lot of research for Beyond Broccoli, and I have a whole chapter on the whole paleo diet and how, you know, what we have eaten for the last 2.6 million years. And surprise, surprise, vegetarians, we evolved eating meat. It's the vegetarian diet that's hard to adapt to, not eating meat. But meat's gotten a bad rap because it's really toxic when you cook it, you know, grill it and barbecue it and everything. But, yeah, the cruciferous vegetables, the way you can, the cellulose is really hard to digest. So what you want to do is you want to juice it lightly or steam it to break down the cellulose. Marinate it with lemon or lime juice if you want to eat it raw, or cream it up in a food processor with some nuts to make a kind of like a cauliflower pate. I'll give you that recipe later. It's really, really yummy. And then you can digest these without getting all the gas and bloating when you pre-digest them in your preparation.
Yeah, because I find every night I like to steam my veggies, and you know, I'll put in beets and carrot and cabbage, and basically raw garlic, everything I can, and I just steam it up to a point that it's, you know, that it's not as hard or raw, you know, it's more edible. And I like to even take a piece of fish, put it over the top, or you know, maybe cook a piece of chicken. And then, you know, with actually maybe the all greens, because I go the whole way, if I make a little sauce out of it to add to it. And I have to tell you, that is my stable diet, and I absolutely love it.
Mm-hmm. I would say eat at least half of your salads raw, though, because you do destroy a lot of the nutrients when you even by steaming, and you do destroy 100% of the enzymes. So I always try to eat most of my vegetables raw, but if I do have something that's hard to digest raw, like broccoli, which I know is really important for preventing cancer, then I will steam that from time to time. Either that or grind it up.
You see that commercial, I don't know if you've seen it on TV, where they're saying women need more calcium, and you'll see people with a cow in the garden, which is the wrong kind of calcium, or they see them buying baskets of broccoli and just sitting there eating raw broccoli. And it's, I think what intimidates people is when they do see an ad like that. Oh, my God, do I have to eat that much to get, you know, the nutrient from it? Can you perhaps maybe give us a ratio of, you know, maybe what you need in a day in order to actually sustain a body?
Oh, gosh, I couldn't do that because it's different for every body. But I would say don't get your calcium from dairy, you know, just I would say get it from the greens. The greens have enough, the sesame seeds. Don't overdose on sesame seeds, though, because seeds are all very, very high in omega-6, with the exception of flax, chia, and hemp. Those are the best seeds, flax, chia, and hemp. But especially, I think chia is really, really great. Yeah, those are a bit more expensive, actually quite a bit more expensive, but you don't want to overdose on those omega-6 heavy seeds.
Okay. Why is that?
Too many omega-6s is part of the reason we have the obesity epidemic. And I go into detail about that in Beyond Broccoli because of the use of vegetable oils as opposed to the lard. The lard from the pork that we used to use in the 60s was actually healthier than the sunflower seed and all the seeds, all these vegetable oils, corn oil and all that that we're using today. That was all, again, big corporate propaganda to sell their wares.
Well, when
you think about it,
you know, they're talking about GMO right now and the corn and, modified, and now they're making oil out of that, and it's like, you know, I mean, it is buyer beware today, and it can be kind of scary because, you know, you've placed your trust in that the foods that are there in the supermarket, and, you know, we want to eat healthy, we want to eat more vegetables, and then it's like, but is it organic? But is it truly organic? And, you know, there's so many mixed messages for people, and it's really hard, I think, sometimes for them to change those diets because of, you know, who do they trust? I actually cook with, actually, I like the grape seed oil when I have to cook with oil. I like that, or, you know, a pure oil. And, of course, the other thing that is being promoted quite highly today is coconut oil.
Yes, coconut oil is the best oil to cook with because it remains stable in the cooking. And one study even showed that it reversed Alzheimer's disease. I doubt that it could reverse an advanced stage, but apparently it has reversed some of these beginning to moderate stages. So it's excellent for the brain. The brain needs saturated fat. It needs that.
Right.
And it's also
turmeric
a great...
Turmeric is very good for that as well.
Yes, and I cite studies in the... In the Live Food Factor, I cite studies that show that coconut butter can help with weight loss. It speeds up your metabolism.
Ah.
Yes,
and
it tastes delicious.
That's a lot of the problem with weight loss, isn't it, is the metabolism. I know that mine shuts down, you know, during stress or if I haven't been well. And, you know, it's getting that metabolism up and going. And, of course, when your metabolism's slow, you seem to crave more of the carbs. And it's kind of a vicious circle. So it's trying to put the right foods in you to get that metabolism up and going again. And then you actually do crave the better foods.
Yes, yeah, we need, see, all these low-fat diets are really, really bad. They, for most people, there's a few people that can handle it, but our body needs the omega-3 and the DHA and the EPA for our brain, for our weight loss, for our well-being, for our good moods. That's why, you know, studies show that the happiest people on the planet are the ones that eat a lot of fish. But, of course, we have to watch out now with all the mercury and everything and just eat the smaller fish.
Mm-hmm. So, again, it's education. It's know what you're putting in you, basically buy local and buy organic, and really find your balance in there, you know, what is stable for you. You find that, I know I've got a friend that's on a blood type diet, and she eats according to a blood type. Do you find that this kind of transcends all that, you know, the blood types or, you know, some people that, you know, my son is dating a young lady who is meat. Everything is meat for her. She doesn't eat much vegetable at all because she craves that. So do you find that sometimes it is our blood that draws us to that?
Yeah, I do believe there are different metabolic types. Some people who do, maybe 30% can do well on a vegetarian diet. I would not recommend a vegan diet for anybody, not even my worst enemy. Although there are a few people who manage to do okay on that, and I do have people who've been on that diet for 30 years in my own book, The Live Food Factor. So it can be done, but it's very, very, very hard, and it has to be really properly planned to get all the nutrients, and I have a chapter about that too in Beyond Broccoli. But yeah, there are a few people, like you were saying, this woman who just needs to eat a really high protein diet. For most of us, for me, that would make me feel awful. I would just feel so exhausted from trying to digest all that protein. For me, I'm a mixed type. I do very well with a lot of vegetables, only low glycemic fruits such as apples and berries. And I do well with a moderate amount of meat, you know, like three to 4 ounces a day at the most. And then we all would do well to go on a vegan cleanse from time to time, a juice fast or a vegetable, just eating vegetables, you know, for a few days, or, you know, and we all do very, very well if we can fast once in a while, you know, a few days every month at least, just on juices, fresh juices diluted with water.
Right.
You know, in our Paleolithic ancestors would often have forced fasts, and it gives the chance, it gives the body a chance to clean itself out, to do some serious house clean. Yeah.
Actually, our producer has a question for you, Susan.
Okay.
She says, what if you don't like fish? What is the next best source of omega-3s?
Okay, you can get eggs that have that are labeled, like in the U.S., I would not buy an egg unless it said DHA on it, and it was from a trustworthy source. You know, you go to the local food co-op or the local health food store, and you pay top price. When I was in the States 2 years ago, it was like $5 for a dozen eggs. So that would be one. Or you could get high-grade fish oil if you don't like the taste of fish. It has to be pharmaceutical grade. If it's not, even if it says pure or mercury-free, it's still going to have traces of mercury. So you want to make sure it says pharmaceutical grade on there. And, you know, take some of those pills every day.
I heard that you shouldn't take omega-3s all the time, that you should change it up. 3s, 6s, and 9s alternate.
We get enough 6s and 9s. We don't have to take supplements for those. Those are, especially if you eat any, you know, grains or seeds or anything. I mean, even raw vegans will eat a lot of seeds. So it's mainly the 3 that we have to be concerned with.
Have you heard of the B17 formula?
The what?
B17 vitamin formula.
Oh, yes, Laetril, yes, I know a woman.
The B17 is, you know, it's actually considered actually a cancer-curing vitamin, which actually I know is banned in the States. But, of course, it's actually natural foods. It's almonds, it's cashew nuts, it's millet, alpha sprouts, apricot seeds, and it's just, you know, they're different levels, you know, high, medium, or low, and they're there. You know, if you take them every single day of your life, I've known people that have actually cured the cancer that way, and they're a great preventative of it. And also, they're a wonderful balance. When people used to make bread out of millet, you had far less cancer. When they went to wheat, you started seeing that cancer climb.
You can get Hunza apricot pits at some of the health food shops. Those are
and really,
really high.
Yeah, so the high in B17, are they high in something else?
The apricot pits?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's mainly the B17 that they're eating for.
Right.
Yeah, when I was in the States, you could even find them raw.
Yes, yes, and there are places that will do that. And the interesting thing is, you know, they always say that for every disease, God has a cure but a few feet away. And, you know, I believe in prevention. You know, over cure if we can prevent before we get there. And, you know, really. And far less painful. And, you know, I think that we actually do, and I'm a huge advocate for taking onus on self, you know, being responsible for our own lives, our own choices, our own decisions. And it comes to what we put in our body as well as what we put on our body. And, you know, that maybe the raw food diet isn't 100% for everybody, but if they could at least, you know, incorporate a meal a day. So we're running down on, could you perhaps give us a recipe or two of something before I'm then going to let you go into your...
Yes, let me give you the recipe that I was talking about for the... let's see, for the carob pudding. What you, if you're sensitive to chocolate... Because chocolate does have theobromine, which acts like caffeine. You can use carob instead of chocolate, but you can get raw carob or raw cacao powder. Take about half a cup of that. Blend it in a food processor with one ripe avocado, 1/4 cup raw coconut butter. Coconut butter usually isn't really raw. And then 1/2 cup honey or yakan root syrup. If you're sensitive to, if you're a diabetic or hypoglycemic, I would use yakan root syrup, which is really great. Great stuff. And then another good recipe I'll give you is you take a head of a cauliflower, chop it up, put it in the food processor with 1/4 cup lemon juice, 1/4 cup water, and 1 cup of macadamia nuts or cashews, and 1 teaspoon salt, sea salt, preferably Himalayan salt. That's very high in minerals. And you blend that. And you won't get any gas or indigestion from this cauliflower because it's going to be all pre-digested. And this makes a wonderful dip. You can take some carrots or sweet potatoes and you put them in the slicing blade through the food processor and make raw chips, carrot chips and sweet potato chips, and use this cauliflower pate as a dip.
Hmm. Well, that sounds interesting. Kind of make an interesting dip for the Christmas season coming up instead of everybody,
yes,
you know, eating all the fatty things. It's like maybe just introduce, mm-hmm, you know, one of these raw food kind of dips and alternatives for people. So, okay, we're running out of time now. So, please, you've got your 2 minutes right now to tell everybody how they can get hold of you, where they can buy your books.
Okay. Both my books, The Live Food Factor and Beyond Broccoli, are available in Kindle and paperback on Amazon. And my email is livefoodfactor@yahoo.com. livefoodfactor@yahoo.com. And if you can forward me a receipt that you bought my book on Amazon, not a used copy, it has to be new, then I will send you my free weight loss tips ebook. And the first 3 people who email me, I will also give you Beyond Broccoli on a Kindle book as a gift.
Wonderful. Fabulous. Okay, so thank you very much, and everybody knows how to get hold of you, and I want to thank you very much for being on the show. It's very, very educational, and certainly very much food for thought. And I certainly would like to be getting your book as well, because I'd like to start introducing this as an alternative in my diet. So thank you so much, Susan, for coming on and letting us know about the raw food diet.
Thank you, Sarah.
God bless, love. Have a good week. Okay, guys. Next week on Your Important to Sarah, I have Jason Stefanik coming on. He is the film producer of This Is My Body video fame. I don't know if everybody got to see it, but it is a bunch of women talking about that this is their body, their choice, and that no one has the right to tell them what to do with it. I was so empowered by this video. I posted a lot. Jason got hold of me, and now I have him on the show. And this is a very, very important one to anybody who cares about women over there and women's rights over their own choices. So please do tune in next week. And next week on The Importance of Your Challenge, I'll be covering a part one of 2 shows in your personal branding. Any form of entrepreneur, either an MLM or an ordinary entrepreneur, you need to have a personal branding so people know who you are and what you stand for. So the first part will be, I'll be doing True Colors, your personality profiling, who you are, how you interact with life, how you perceive life. And the second part, I'll be having Marla Dennis on, who's going to be talking about your personal branding. I'm very excited to be having the people that I have on my show. I'm very moved and heartfelt with the stories that are given to me and with the information that inspires people. But if you have somebody that you would like to see, or hear, rather, me interview, please do let me know. You can contact me at Sarah, S-A-R-A, at theimportanceofyou, that is a letter U, .ca, Sarah, theimportanceofyou.ca, or you can go to my site, www.theimportanceofyou.ca. All of my shows are up there. I have October scheduled up there for the guests that are speaking in October. I have October shows posted over in the Challenge Show. And if you've got somebody that you would like to see interviewed, or if you have a question, a challenge yourself, and you would like to see an expert come on and address it, please do let me know. These shows are for you. I want to bring people on that are going to help you in your life. I wish everybody a wonderful week. It's Thanksgiving here, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone in Canada. Goodbye, all.